As Coley said, I am Darius, filling in for Andy, but just like Christ, hopefully he will return soon. So you won't have to put up with me for much longer. So we're in a series called Inviting People to Jesus. So we're going through our scripture and looking at ways, especially within our church, we're looking at our church as well, like how can we be more of an inviting church? How can we invite people to Jesus? We are in our third week into this series. Andy preached the first week about really talking about like what is our motivation for inviting people. Last week I talked about how do we prepare to invite people. And this week really is going to focus on the power in which we invite people, like what it gives us the power to invite people to Jesus. Yes, and I just remembered, which I got a host of kids staring at me like, what are you doing, dude? Kids church. I have half of the kids in the church, and I always forget. So kids church, kids, dude. I really don't have that many kids, but. So kids in kindergarten through fifth grade, your teachers are in the back waiting for you. They always staring at me like, what is he talking about? Okay, yeah, so we're talking about inviting people to Jesus, and we're looking at today about the power. How do we go about and what power do we use to invite people to Jesus? And we're going to really be focused on the Holy Spirit today. And so we're going to be looking at a bunch of scriptures in the book of Acts. And really the book of Acts is like one of the most exciting books that I really love the book of Acts besides the Old Testament. It really should be called like the book Acts of the Spirit, because that's really what it's about. The Spirit of God comes upon his people, and all throughout the book you see the Spirit moving and taking the church into a new direction, really the believers of God, and building the church itself. There was a human side to planting, and developing plans on the part of the apostles, but they really were dependent on the Spirit. They had immense hardships, opposition, and it was through the depending on the Holy Spirit that gave them the power to push forward and really build up the church. So we're going to be trying to answer a question today. In what ways does depending on the Holy Spirit help believers invite people to Jesus? That's really what we're going to look at today. So I'm going to pray really quick before we jump into the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for another opportunity to study your word. We ask that you open up our hearts and our mind to hear the message that you have for us today, Lord. We ask that you send your Spirit as we discuss the power which it gives us to invite others onto yourself. I ask that you decrease me, Lord, and so that you may get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to look at is depending on the Holy Spirit empowers believers to go and speak to all people, inviting them to Jesus. And we're really going to look at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, and while staying with them, Jesus is speaking about, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when you had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know this time or season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, backdrop. So, Jesus, he was crucified. He rose from the grave. He comes back before the disciples, and he spends about 40 days with them, teaching them and ministering to them and encouraging them. And he gives them this promise, and he tells the disciples to wait on the promise of the coming. And so it's specific things that he mentions in here. He says they need to wait for the coming, the filling, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, or what he called the promise of the Father. This was meant to be for them to have patience to wait on the Spirit. They had to have patience, be in prayer, and they had to also believe. believe in something that cannot be created by man. Like, the power of the Spirit is something that we cannot create on our own. If you look at the verses, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So they had to believe and trust in this, what Jesus was telling them. If you look at Luke chapter 12, Christ also states that the Spirit will enable the believers. He would give them the words to speak. In Luke, it says, and when they bring you before the synagogue and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So Jesus is telling the disciples that this Spirit that I'm going to send you is going to enable you to do what I have sent you to do, which is the Great Commission. I want you to go into all the ends of the earth, which he says into Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem. So which is funny that the disciples ask us specific questions. Now here he's saying, I want you guys to go not only in Jerusalem, but I want you to go outside of Jerusalem. And what questions do they ask? Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I know Jesus is shaking his head like he always shaking his head at them, like they never get it. And so, and I think sometimes we tend to think like this. Disciples had a mindset of that the Spirit of God, and especially Jesus, that he came to establish a new kingdom on earth, specifically at that time. And for them, they thought it was to overthrow the kingdom that they was under, the rule that they was under, which was they was under the rule of the Roman Empire. It was under Caesar. And they thought this power that God was going to give them was going to help them get more political power, more economic power. And Jesus repeatedly is trying to get them to think outside of that, that the power that he was going to send was not in terms of earthly power. It was in terms of God's kingdom. This was one of the main issues that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Well, that the Pharisees had with Jesus was when he was gathering followers, they always thought like he was trying to take away the physical power that they had. We must keep at the forefront of our mind that Jesus's kingdom, it goes beyond this earthly kingdom. That in inviting people to Jesus is not just inviting them to a religious sect or even going to church. We invited them to be disciples. We invited them to follow the way of Christ. The scripture continues on and he answers their question and he said to them, it is not for you to know this time or the reason which the Father has put his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness. You shall be witnesses of to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So Christ explains that the power I will give you is not for overthrowing kingdoms of men, but for overthrowing Satan's kingdom. The power of God, the God Spirit, is for bringing men's heart out of darkness and bringing it into the light of Christ. It goes beyond that. And if we look at the book of Acts, really, we really see that coming true after the Holy Spirit descends upon them in Pentecost. The first thing Peter does is he preaches a sermon. And when he preached this sermon, it says that thousands there that was visiting from all over the nation had gave their life to Christ, about 3,000 people. But really, if you look at three places and you look at, if you was to break up the book of Acts in three different sections, you really look at Acts 1-7 describes the gospel going and advised that going and being spoken in Jerusalem. The next four chapters is really about going and being spoken into Judea and Samaria. 13-28 is really going into the ends of the earth. So really, once they receive the power of God, the gospel starts to spread. And this mission and this promise that Jesus gives the disciples is really fulfilled. But that's only going through them receiving the Spirit and then going to where God is sending them and also speaking the word. The next point that Jesus made, that how the Holy Spirit helps believers invite people to Jesus is, depending on the Holy Spirit leads and guides us to inviting specific people at specific times. This really happens in Acts chapter 16. We see a couple of different things. So in Acts chapter 16, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia and have been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went to a town called Troas. And in a vision appearing to Paul in the night, a man from Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he went out to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So really backtrack a little bit. So Paul here was on really entering to his second missionary trip, and he had really had a desire. He was like, "I really want to take the gospel into Asia. Like, I have this deep desire to take the gospel into Asia." But the Spirit tells him, "No, I have something else for you to do." And it's really unclear really how God told him that he could not come into Asia. But if you read Galatians, it really kind of gives us a picture of that. In Galatians, it talks about Paul says that how he ministered to the church of Galatia under intense sickness, physical sickness in his body. And a lot of people believe that it was this sickness that the Spirit had put upon him that prevented him from traveling that far into Asia. And so with that, he ended up going into Macedonia, which he ended up hitting Philippi. And so because the Spirit told him he could not go into Asia, he ended up going into Macedonia, which he went to the town of Philippi, which is where we get the book of Philippians. So if the Spirit did not forbid him from going in there, we would never got the book of Philippians. But it's something that is key. The key here is that the gospel, it did not go into Asia at that point, but it was really the relying and the listening of the Spirit that Paul was able to go and speak to a specific people. And we kind of see that again if you read into Acts 10, verse 37 and 38. They tells us here about how Jesus was really dependent on where the Spirit sent him. Like, it was really through Jesus listening to where the Spirit would say, "Go here or go there." It says, "You yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God for God was with him." So it's really that this, once Jesus received the power of the Spirit, it really enabled him to go to specific towns and heal and call people unto himself. We see once again in John 4, in verse 3, we have the story of this woman at the well. And it's really Jesus being led by the Spirit to this specific woman. John 4 and 3 says, "He left Judea and departed again from Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria." And so this word that they use there as "he had to pass" is that he had no other option. It was something that pulled him through Samaria. And if you keep reading about that story, it talks about Jesus sitting at this well, and it just so happened that this woman comes to this well, and he has this interaction with her, and he really calls her into herself, and it really leads to her whole town really coming unto Jesus. So it's through depending on the Spirit and listening to the Spirit that God really calls people to himself. God guides us by his word, but the Holy Spirit really speaks to our heart and uses circumstances through visions, dreams, sickness, to really call us to certain people in certain places. I have had many of those experiences in my life where it was just by coincidence of the Spirit sending me somewhere or telling me to do something, and I was fortunate enough to listen, that I had these interactions that I would never have happened before. And much like Paul, there was a time in my life where I was really sick, where I was in, I spent about 6.5 years in a wheelchair. And it was really through that sickness that I was only dependent on God and his Spirit. And I would really have these God would set it up where I would go to, I would have doctor's appointments. And it just so happened, I would get like the boldest, so I couldn't drive at that point, but I would get like the boldest cab drivers I ever met in my life. Like, so I'll get in the cab, and you have this thing called medical rides. And so you'll get a medical ride if you can't drive. They'll send a cab and your medical insurance to pay for it. And so I'll get in the cab, and I was in my early 20s. And so I'll get in the cab, and the cab driver, this one specific cab driver, said, he looked at me and didn't say hello, how are you doing, where are you going? Said, what's your problem? Why are you in a wheelchair? And I'm like, what? Are you talking to me right now? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, you look really young. Like, why are you in the wheelchair? And it was just this, it opened up a really door for me at that point of really ministering and showing how in the midst of sickness and circumstances, you can have joy and peace in the Lord. And so we really spent the next 30 minutes talking about scripture and how God can give you peace in the midst of hard circumstances. But that really was something that was set up by the Spirit of God, because if I was not going through that sickness or trial, I would have missed out on that opportunity to minister to that person. So we really got to look at circumstances and listen to the Spirit and the power which it gives us to really lead and go. There's many people within our church and pretty that out on mission trips right now because they felt like it was a call of the Spirit that they had to go to these places. We have people in Jordan and all over the world. We have people here that works in ministry in the Twin Cities. They're working in hard places with hard communities, and they feel like the Spirit of God has called me to these specific people. And so it's really depending on the Spirit of God and us listening to that, help us go to these specific people at specific times. And if Paul did not listen to that Spirit, we would never have such an encouraging book like the book of Philippians and God sending him to Macedonia. So another way that depending on the Spirit helps believers is, depending on the Holy Spirit helps believers invite people to Jesus through our resources. And it's really two main scriptures that I want to look at in here in Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 42 through 47. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wondered, and signs and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And then if you go on to Acts chapter 4 and 32, it talks about, now the full number of those who believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that anything he possessed was his own. They had all things in common. So backdrop to Acts. So Acts chapter 1 verses 42. So we have in the beginning of Acts, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to send you the Spirit. It's going to give you power to witness to these people. It's going to give you power to go and speak the gospel and witness and bring people unto myself. But then if you continue on, we hear about how the disciples, Peter spoke the gospel. He preached to all these men of Jerusalem and they gave their life to Christ. And right after that, so they received the Spirit. The Spirit allowed them to speak, and then they shared the resources that they had. And we really see here in Acts chapter 4, the believers had this boldness in the Spirit. And the Spirit, it was something that was specific and unique, because in no other places you had all of these people that was coming from far away. They had traveled to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And they had So they obviously need lodging. They needed funds to stay there. If they gave their life to Jesus, they needed to stay there. They said they devoted themselves to the teaching. So if you were a sojourner and you traveled to this town just for the day of Pentecost, and the Bible talks about how they devoted themselves, but they obviously was going to stay for a while to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus. And so the church really came about, the disciples really came and used the resources that they had to help these people come unto Jesus, to help these people understand what it was like to be Jesus and what the church looked like. And it said that they had all things in common. And I love these two comments that these commentators makes on this. The first one is a commentator named Lasor. He says, communism says that what is yours is mine. I take it. Koinonia, which is the Greek word for all things in common that they share their possessions. It says, what is mine is yours. I will share it. The Greek word here does not mean that everyone sold their property at once. Rather, from time to time, this was done as the Lord brought needs to their attention. They found significant ways to invite people to Jesus through the resources that they had. So they used the resources of homes, transportation, jobs in order to stay and learn about what it was like to be a follower of Jesus. So we got to ask ourselves, like, how is the Holy Spirit leading us? We are a really fortunate church. Like, we have a lot of people in our church that has a lot of different resources, whether that is education, finances, connections. And we have a lot of people in around this, surrounding this community that have a lot of needs. And we got to think and pray about, Lord, how are you, how is your spirit wanting us to use the resources that you have placed in our lives to invite people in this neighborhood to you? Like, how are you going to go about that? If we say that we are going to invite people to Jesus, we have to ask God, like, how are you going to change the culture of us? Inviting people to Jesus is not just inviting them to church. It's inviting them to change the culture. Because as we look out around us, there we are so many different people. There are so many different people that are coming to this. Now is really getting to the point in America that you don't have to travel far to get to the to get to the nations. The nations are coming here. Actually, Minnesota, we are known as one of the top 10 gateway cities in America. Every day we have hundreds of thousands of different refugees coming here to the Twin Cities. I think Somali, we probably have over 200,000 a year that are coming to the Twin Cities. And so we got to think, Lord, how is your spirit guiding us to use what you have given us to invite people into yourself, to change it, to change this culture that we have? Depending on the Holy Spirit includes trusting, obeying, being led by him, and embracing his ministry. It also includes the idea of allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us for life and ministry. To depend on the Holy Spirit is to look at how he has revealed Jesus unto us. How has the Holy Spirit led us to know that Jesus is real? And also, how is the Holy Spirit leading us to show that to others? We got to look at these three ways of the Holy Spirit giving us the power to go to the people around us, to speak the gospel. The Holy Spirit leading us to specific times and specific places. Many times you can be at a grocery store and the Lord just puts something on your heart and say, pray for this person or give this person some money at a corner. We never know how doing that and praying for someone would invite someone to Jesus. So we must ask ourselves, how is the Holy Spirit inviting you to the revealed Jesus? For those of us who are believers, it may be, I want you to grow deeper in dependence of me. I want you to listen, mature in your faith. I wanted you to go and get involved in a certain ministry. For those of you here who may not be believers, it may be saying, I want you to place your faith in me. Believe that I died for your sins. I was raised from the dead, and I come to give you victory and invite you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. the Holy Spirit is calling us all unto a work of inviting people to discipleship, inviting people to Jesus. But it really takes for us to listen to that. It may not look the same in all of us. All of us, some of us, it may be saying, no, you can't go here. Instead, I want you to go there. Yesterday, I got an opportunity to get rid of my kids, which is not often, since I stay home with them most of the time. And so I said, I was going to do some yard work. I said, today, I'm going to just do some yard work. And it just so happened, somehow I have become, my house has become the neighborhood house. There's a lot of young kids in my neighborhood doesn't have, they come from single families, have just moms at home. And they, all of a sudden I hear in my yard, they wait. I'll pull up at home and I'll see a bunch of kids just sitting out front in my yard waiting for us to get home. And so this time I said, I'm going to do yard work. So I drove around and I parked in the back thinking they wasn't going to see me. And so then there's a one kid peeked around the corner of my house and said, hey, Mr. Darius, can we come in the yard and jump in the trampoline? And I'm like, oh, man, I really don't want you to. I just got rid of 5 kids. Why? I don't want 5 more kids right now. And so I'm like, I went into the hardware store. I got a tiller. So I'm just tilling my yard like, if I don't answer, they'll go away. And so I'm just tilling. And so then they just get closer. And every time I turn around, they're getting closer and closer to the back gate. And so at the same time, right around about 2 blocks away from us, there was just this neighborhood parade going on. And then I just hear the Spirit say, like, you can till your yard any day. Like, what resource have I given you? Which I didn't have any. I'm like, I ain't got no resources. I had car trouble this week. I have nothing to give them. And so it really was like you have the resource of yourself. Like, you have the resource of being a father to 5 kids. You have the resource of knowing what it's like to be fatherless. I want you to give that to them, what you did not have and what you give to your children. I was like, oh, man. It's like when your kids have a tantrum, you tell them to do something like, but I don't wanna. And so I was like, okay. So I called their mom and asked her, could I take them over to the parade about 2 blocks away? And so we packed up the trailer, we went to the hardware store and dropped it back off, and really ended up being a blessing because I had the opportunity to really just talk to them about, hey, you know, why am I stopping what I was doing or stopping my plans to take you guys here? Like, it's really because the love of Christ, because I know Christ, because he loved me and he has given me an opportunity to be a father to my children. And I want to give you guys the same opportunity to have someone to show someone cares for you and generally don't want anything from you, but I want to invite you into Jesus. And so we got to really listen to what the Spirit is calling us to do and really get out of our own comfort zone and really invite people to Jesus. I'm going to pray for our time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you with humble hearts, Lord, asking that you send your Spirit. Lord, send your Spirit to give us power and boldness to speak when you tell us to speak, to go where you tell us to go, but also to give when you tell us to give, whether that's financially, Lord, whether that's physically, whether that's just being a listening ear. Lord, you died so that we may have the victory, that we may be your disciples, Lord, that we may be your family. You have come to bring us unto yourself. And we ask that you just give us open hearts and open ears and open minds to your Spirit and the work that you have set before us. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.